All right, and I've titled the message, The Response of Thanksgiving. The response, because as we understand it, when do you say thanks? Is when typically when someone's done something for you. If someone kept running up to you, you'd never done anything for, and they kept thanking you, you might get a little suspicious and think that they want something from you. But thanksgiving is always a response to someone for what they have done for us. Amen. And that said, all I have to do is say 2020. 2020. When I think back, when we think back on 2020, I mean, it will just, so many things will come to our mind about the faithfulness of God. Not that he's any more faithful now than he was last year. It's just that life's circumstances cause us to see so much more vividly the extent to which God has been caring for us and does care for us. And so I'm going to look at David and make a few points and then turn us loose. Amen. David, as you know, was the second king of Israel, Saul being the first. And after David was anointed by the Lord and chased by Saul for some 13 years or so, as Saul tried to kill him, David became king. And after David had built his house, he wanted to build a house for the Lord, and the Lord said, "No, I'll have your son do that." But David, not too long after he became king, he desired to get the Ark of God. David was a man who had a passion for the presence of God. And soon after becoming king, he met with all the elders in 1 Chronicles chapter 15, verse 25. And it reads, "So David and the elders of Israel and the captains over thousands went to bring up the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord from the house of Obed-Edom with joy." The Ark had been lost in a battle to the Philistines, and it was gone. And when they recovered it, they put it in the house of a Levite, and it was there for some 20 years, which is hard. That's so hard to imagine. But when you remember that Saul reigned for 40 years, then you understand that the ark was out of the tabernacle that Moses has pitched for it for quite a while. And so when David became king, he wanted to get the ark, to recover the ark out of Obed-Edom's house. And if you remember, when they brought it out of the house, Ahio and Uzzah were driving the cart. They put it on a cart with some mules or some oxen, and the oxen were pulling the cart. And as the oxen stumbled, Uzzah put out his hand to steady the ark because Uzzah thought God needed help. And when he touched the ark, God struck him, and he died. And David was angry, the Bible says. He was disappointed, not only that Uzzah had died, but because the ark wasn't coming to him. God's presence was not coming to him. And so in verse 26, it says, "So it was when God helped the Levites who bore the ark of the covenant of the Lord, that they offered seven bulls and seven rams. David was clothed with a robe of linen, as were all the Levites who bore the ark, the singers, and Chenaniah, the music master, with the singers. David also wore a linen ephod. Thus all Israel brought up the ark of the covenant of the Lord with shouting and with the sound of the horn, with trumpets and with cymbals, making music with string instruments and harps. And it happened as the ark of the covenant of the Lord came into the city of David that Michal, Saul's daughter, looked through a window and saw King David whirling and playing music." Whirling and playing music. I love this. "And she despised him in her heart." It's a sad, tragic thing. But here you have a king who God has done so much for. And he's desiring the presence of God in the city that used to be inhabited by the Jebusites. And David and his men went and cast the Jebusites out. So God gave them the city. God made David king. David is desiring God's presence. And once he gets it, the ark is coming into the city and David cannot contain himself. You ever been in the presence of God and not been able to contain yourself? Amen. And so David is whirling as they're playing music. David is whirling and playing music and dancing, and his Saul's daughter, despised him in her heart. That's in 1 Chronicles 15. 2 Samuel 6, verse 13 says this. Then David danced before the Lord with all his might. Have you ever danced before the Lord with all your might? If you haven't, hang on. It's coming. Don't worry. It's coming. Because you see, in glory, in heaven, all of the inhibitions and the reservations that we have here are going to be loosed. They're going to be loosed. And you're going to be able to worship God with your body will be synonymous with your spirit, and you won't hold back. You won't have to look around and see who's looking or why I can't get real free, because what would people think? You won't have that. Well, David didn't have any of that. Why? Because there's something about what God does for you. I'm reminded of the woman when Jesus was in Simon's house, that a woman came and broke an alabaster box and began to wipe his feet. And the aroma filled the room. And Simon said, if this man were a prophet, he would know what type of woman this is. Amen. And Jesus said, Simon, I have something to say to you. Simon said, say on. He said, when I came in, you didn't anoint my head. He said, but this woman has been anointing my feet from the time I came in here. Washing, you didn't wash my feet, but she's washing my feet with tears. And then he said this, he who has been forgiven much loves much. Oh, glory. You hear me? I'm telling you right now. He who has been forgiven much. Their heart, the doors of their heart are thrown open and they're able to put on display, not for people, but for their God, their thanksgiving, the love, the passion that they have for the one who has redeemed them. Amen. And so here's David in 2 Samuel 6, and says, then David danced before the Lord with all his might. The Bible says to love the Lord with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and with all your strength. And David was dancing with all his might. And David was wearing a linen ephod. So David danced unto the Lord for his great goodness toward him. He also danced, or remember, he didn't dance when Uzzah got killed, because that was nothing to dance about. But he was dancing now because why? The ark was upon the shoulders of the Levites. And it was advancing and it was coming into the city. In other words, they were doing it the right way. They were doing it according to the commandments and the order that God laid out when he brought the children of Israel out of Egypt. And so not only were they doing it the right way, but because they were doing it the right way, he would get what he desired, and that was God's presence. He desired God's presence. Listen, are you aware of God's presence with you everywhere you go? At all times, he is present. Why? He said, I will never leave you. I will never forsake you. Oh, God. And David wanted the presence of God. He desired the presence of God. And when he saw his desire coming to pass, the Bible says he danced with all his might. Amen. Now, he danced for other reasons, too. I mean, there's multiple reasons that David would have been dancing. 2 Samuel chapter 6, verse 16 says, now as the ark of the Lord came into the city of David, Michal, Saul's daughter, looked through a window and saw King David leaping and whirling before the Lord. leaping and whirling before the Lord. Let me explain to you something, what that means in the Hebrew. You understand what leaping and whirling means in the Hebrew? It means leaping and whirling. That's what it means. It means David was, he was just dancing, and whatever form came out was coming out of his spirit to God as he was so thankful for what God had done for him. But Michal despised him in her heart. And what, let me just say something about that, because Michal despised not only her king, that was David, but her husband, that was David. And the scripture says that she despised him while he was worshiping her God. Think about that for a second. Her king, her husband, worshiping her supposed God, and she despised him in her heart. 2 Samuel 6:20 goes on and it explains the situation. Then David returned to bless his household. And Michal, the daughter of Saul, came out to meet David and said, "How glorious was the king of Israel today, uncovering himself today in the eyes of the maids of his servants as one of the base fellows shamelessly uncovers himself." Ah, Jesus. My goodness. The word in the Hebrew is empty, base. This word for base, as one of the base fellows, that word means empty, vain, and worthless. Empty, vain, and worthless. In other words, the most valued person in the nation, King David, she was declaring about him, "You are empty, vain, and worthless." How many of you know God was not too pleased with that? God was not too pleased. And we understand that she was barren for the rest of her life. Well, David responded to her and said, "It was before the Lord. It was before the Lord." And here is where our worship always starts and where it always should finish. Before the Lord. It was before the Lord. Now, I don't have time to go into all of the shamelessly uncovering what she was referring to. Different commentaries are talking about the short cutoff tunics or the linen garments that the Levites would have worn for the occasion, that David was wearing one of those and so forth and so on. But he was not naked as we would understand it, obviously. Amen. But David put it in context, his worship. He said it was before the Lord. And that should always give us pause when we go to judge somebody else's worship. Should always give us pause. I've told you before, there are those who, and I get it. I mean, I want to sing the most accurate words that we can in a song, but there are some songs that I won't sing here because they're just not accurate. I mean, it's just saying the opposite of scripture, and it kind of bothers me, you know? Well, we can take that to the nth degree, and I've heard some pastors say this, the last song we just sang here, they wouldn't sing it. They judge it because of one line in Christ Alone. And I watched a whole teaching on it and was getting involved in it and everything. And then as I was sitting before the Lord in prayer one day, I had this image come up in my mind of a little child walking up to its parents, walking up to daddy and mom. "Mommy, I made this for you." And here this was an expression of the little child's heart, but what was in it was off. I mean, it wasn't to the letter. It didn't match to the letter. But the parent didn't say, "You know what? But go put this in the trash. Get this stuff out of my face. I don't want to see it." No. Listen, we're not perfect. And I get that. And we'll write a song, and it's not the most perfect, or is there even such a thing? Hello. God understands that we're but dust. Amen. And he's merciful. So David said, it was before the Lord who chose me instead of your father and all his house. So David was rebuking his wife. Amen. The king's daughter. All right. Because she may have been feeling some sort of way because he now was sitting in her father's throne, as it were. And David said, it was before the Lord who chose me instead of your father and all his house to appoint me ruler over the people of the Lord and over Israel. Therefore, I will play music before the Lord. David said, because he chose me. And that just so reminds me of Ephesians chapter 1, verses 3 and 4. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Verse 4, just as he chose us in him before the foundation of the world. Woo! Hallelujah! Amen. And what do I thank God for every morning when I wake? Father, thank you for choosing me. In Christ Jesus, before the foundation of the world, he planned my salvation. He planned your salvation. David's rejoicing because God chose him. He's dancing because God chose him. Amen. And he says, therefore, I will play. Oh, I'm going to play and I'm going to worship. Amen. And I'll be even more vile tomorrow. He says, but in the eyes of those maid servants that you talk about, I'm going to be held in honor. Even though I'm not held in honor in your eyes, I will be in theirs because I'm honoring the Lord. Amen. And so David would not let his dignity, so-called dignity, get in the way of exuberant thanksgiving to God. So he danced before the Lord with all his might. It's interesting, in the world, one dances because it feels good. You remember being in the world. You remember going to a party. I remember going to a party. You danced because it felt good. You danced because the music, you know, your body liked the way the music was going and all this. But in Christ, we dance unto. We dance unto someone. Amen? And his nature characterizes our dance so that it's not vile. Amen? It is not something that would put one off, but we dance unto him who has done great things for us. And because he never changes, our dance never changes. We continue. It is interesting that in the tabernacle of Moses, it was quiet. They would just slay animals at the altar of burnt offering. They would wash at the laver. They would go and attend to the candlestick, the showbread, amen, altar of incense. That's all they would do. David pitches his tent for the ark in Jerusalem. I don't know if there's a veil. They would present offerings to the Lord. And then the Levites would stand there with instruments and cymbals, and they would sing. And they would sing prayers and sing songs to God. And not only that, the inaugural meeting, the head of the nation, is out there, whirling and leaping and giving glory to God. And people are watching this display of exuberant praise to God. And then we have this written out of the Psalms that David would have initiated. Psalm 149, verse 3 says this, let them praise him with the dance. Let them praise him with the dance. Ha, 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 hey! And they were praising him with the dance. And I know some people, you know, they get, oh, they're dancing. I'm getting nervous. Why are you getting nervous? The Bible says, praise him with the dance. You say, well, I'm not good at dancing. It didn't say you had to be good at dancing. It said to praise him with the dance. Amen. Let them sing praises to him with the timbrel and harp. Why? Because it says in verse 2, let Israel rejoice in their maker. Let the children of Zion be joyful in their king. Let them praise his name with the dance. Why? For the Lord takes pleasure in his people. You think that'll make you dance? Oh, that'll make you dance. That'll make you full of thanksgiving and praise. He will beautify the humble with salvation. You dance because you are reminded of all the good things that God has done for you. Psalm 150, verses 2 through 4. The scripture says, let them praise the Lord. Praise him in his sanctuary. It tells you when to praise him. It tells you why to praise him. And it tells you how to praise him. Praise him in his sanctuary. Praise him in the firmaments. In the firmament. And it says, praise him for his mighty acts. Praise him according to his excellent greatness. And when we were young in the Lord, and our pastor was leading worship, and he would get up and the men would lock arms and we would dance across the front of the church. Amen. And when I was 19 years old, and I'm right up there with them. You know, 19, you got a lot of energy. Amen. And and one time, one of the pastor's sons, it was beautiful. He just ran across the church and did a cartwheel to the glory of God and went up to the other side. And the young people, we were just there worshiping God, loving God with all of our hearts, all of our might. So the scripture says, praise him according to his excellent greatness. Praise him with the timbrel and dance. And it's interesting that we have our dancer in the church today. Look at there. Ah, do you think that's coincidence? That does not happen in the kingdom of God. Amen. Amen. Praise him with the timbrel and dance. Praise him with string instruments and flutes. And it was David who, at the inauguration of the ark coming into the city of David, Zion, Jerusalem itself, was dancing with all of his might and thanksgiving to God. And David had much to be thankful to God for. He saw the mighty acts of the Lord. You remember he talked about that God delivered him from the lion, from the paw of the lion, and from the paw of the bear. And he said, the same God who delivered me from them is going to deliver me, this Philistine, into my hand. He told the king, don't worry, king, I'm going to handle it. Don't worry, it's going to be all right. And but then God went and delivered him from all the Philistines and from Saul himself. So David had much to be thankful for. But not only was David thankful to God for all that he had done for him, but as king, he appointed the Levites to give thanks to God. So in 1 Chronicles 16, verse 4, the scripture reads, and he appointed some of the Levites to minister before the ark of the Lord, to commemorate, to thank, and to praise the Lord God of Israel. So this is after he's danced into the city, come into the city. And now that the ark is at rest in the tent, David tells the Levites, Asaph, Jeduthun, Haman, Zadok the priest, and all these people, he tells them, listen, I want you to stand there, and I want you to minister to the Lord. Now, what's interesting is this didn't happen in the tabernacle of Moses. This happened under David. This was David's tabernacle, or David's tent. And David said, I want you to commemorate, which means to mark so as to recognize, to remember, to recall and show respect for someone or something. In other words, to celebrate. And he says you're to commemorate the Lord, to thank him. The Hebrew word is yada, yada. It means to use or to hold out, to extend the hand. And so when you see people worship, you see people lift their hands up to God. Amen. That's yada. That's what the Hebrew word means, to extend the hands. So he said that's what it means to thank the Lord, the word yada. And then the word to praise the Lord is the word halal, from which we get hallelujah. Amen. To halal the Lord, which means to shine or to make a show, to boast, and thus to be clamorously foolish, to rave and to celebrate. That's what David was doing when he was dancing before the Lord, whirling and leaping. He was praising our God. Amen. And so it was not quiet in David's tabernacle. It was quiet in Moses' tabernacle, but it was not quiet in David's tent. There were musicians there, and there was lifting up the voice in song, lifting up the voice to thanksgiving and praise. And so David instituted the singing of prayers into the worship of God in 1 Chronicles 16:7. The scripture reads, On that day, David first delivered this psalm into the hand of Asaph and his brethren to thank the Lord. The reason why he gave this psalm was for them to thank the Lord. So we were singing, give thanks earlier. Amen. And we have so much to be thankful to God for. David said this, oh, give thanks to the Lord, call upon his name, make known his deeds among the people. Make known his deeds. Listen, you want to work, you want to, you know, what God does in your life on a personal level, you want to witness to someone. I know people come up with witnessing programs and all these things for us to remember this, that, and the other, to tell people about Jesus. Can I give you a very simple way to be a witness? David just said it here. Oh, give thanks to the Lord, call upon his name, make known his deeds among the people. Has God done anything for you? Come on now. Has God done anything for you? Look, so when you're out and about, you just tell somebody what God has done for you. It doesn't have to be all of these deep, well, first you gotta remember to get them in a conversation. And then you have to remember, now, but you don't pray yet because you gotta wait to pray. You don't have to remember all of that. Come on. You just tell somebody what God has done for you. And I was out. I had this happen yesterday. And it happened so many times. I cannot even tell you how many times this happened in my life over 30 years working. But yesterday I was out cleaning some lady's carpet in Burke. And I get a call. I see the call come in. I couldn't answer it. I get back to check the call, and the lady saying, "Listen, can you help me with carpet cleaning before Thanksgiving? You know, people always wait till, or they have a problem, or they have an emergency. Can you please help me?" And I'm booked. I can't help. But because I know the Holy Ghost, and I know how He does. Because only he can do things like this. I didn't call the woman back. I just let it go. I'm going to wait. And that was at 10 something in the morning. Around about 4 o'clock, I'm still working. And one of my jobs on Tuesday called in and said, "Hey, Pat, I've had a conflict come about. I cannot do Tuesday. Can I move?" And I said, "Sure, you can move." And I moved her, and then I texted the other woman and said, "You know that appointment that you wanted before Thanksgiving? I'll be there at 9 a.m. And she's just thrilled. Now, she doesn't know what I know. But I know who did that. I know who did it. One day, about 3 years ago, it was during the summer, I went and the lady was moving in. Something happened to the house. House was tore. It was dirty. I think her carpet cleaner canceled on it. She called me and said, "Is there any way you can get here today?" I was so booked. I said, "Ma'am, wait a second. Did I answer the call?" I got a voicemail, and I didn't answer it. I just waited. And sure enough, my noon job called in and said, "Hey, I'm sorry, but we're going to have to cancel. Just please reschedule us." And I called this woman. When I showed up at this woman's house, I said, "Ma'am," I told her, "This appointment had your name on it." She says, "What do you mean?" And then I told her how I was booked. There was no way I could get there. And she was about in tears. Her and her father were looking at me like, "Are you serious?" I'm like, yes. Because, you know, only, see, God has control of your schedule. He has control of your life. Hello? And so, you know, I just give God. And when you see all of these things happening to you, you see the great things that God has done for you. You simply tell people. You tell people the good things that God has done. Our son is a miracle. He should not be here. I never forget that. There's not one day I forget that. Doctor said he was dead. Said nothing here. There's nothing here. You see, this pregnancy has been terminated. Go home. Have a miscarriage. Come back. Come back for the DNC. We'll clean you out. But just go on home. It's over. That's what the doctor said. We went home, called the church, pray. We're going to pray. And we went back a few days later, and the doctor said, I don't know how to describe this. I don't know what happened. I said, Doctor, I can help you with that. He said, I know what happened. There's a God in heaven who hears and answers prayer. And I told him, I said, there is a God. We went home and prayed. And how many people have I told? I don't only tell you that. I tell people that. I tell unsaved people. We get in a conversation. I tell people what the Lord has done. Amen. That's what David is saying here. Oh, give thanks to the Lord. Call upon his name. Make known his deeds among the people. Listen, you don't have to be deep in all of this. You know, I got to do evangelize this way. I got to evangelize. No, just sit there and tell people what God has done for you. Hello. You want to know who's thankful? Look here. This coming Tuesday, 2 days from now, it will be 3 weeks, about a month, that I went into the hospital not knowing whether I would come out. Literally. Didn't know. Heart racing so fast. I didn't know. I said, Lord, is today the day? Justice driving me to the hospital. I'm like, Lord, is today the day? I said, all right, but he didn't have to answer me because I said, Lord, everything's in order. I know I'm yours. You're mine. Insurance is paid. They got my passwords. I said, everything is in order. And even after that, after I got out of the hospital, I was telling my sisters the other day, I said, you know, they asked me, how you feeling? I said, I'm feeling fine, but I'm still ready to go because you never know. Do you hear me? I feel great, but you never know. Sing to him. Sing psalms to him. Talk of all his wondrous works. You know what? When you're full of thanksgiving, when you're thankful for something, that thanksgiving won't allow you to be quiet. It won't allow you to be quiet. You keep talking about what you're thankful for, right? And so the psalm says, talk of all his wondrous works. Glory in his holy name. Let the heart of those rejoice who seek the Lord. Seek the Lord and his strength. Seek his face evermore. Remember his marvelous works which he has done, his wonders and the judgments of his mouth. Every time I talk to my wife, we talk every day. Every time I see her, I'm looking at a miracle because I know God's keeping her. I know God's keeping her. She cares for her mother. It's just what he does. So David served the living God who had done great things for him, for which he was immensely grateful. And he let everyone under his influence know it. He let everyone. Psalm 18:46, he says, the Lord lives. Blessed be my rock. Let the God of my salvation be exalted. It is God who avenges me and subdues the peoples under me. He delivers me from my enemies. You also lift me up above those who rise up against me. You have delivered me from the violent man. Therefore, I will give thanks to you, O Lord, among the Gentiles and sing praises to your name. David's heart was full of thanksgiving. So when we jump over to the New Testament, how does it translate to us? Paul said this in Ephesians 5. Do not be drunk with wine, in which is dissipation, but be filled with the Spirit. This is how we're to speak to one another. In psalms, in hymns, in spiritual song. Singing and making melody in your heart
to the Lord.
Do you know what the church would be like instead of when we call one another, say, did you know so-and-so? Did you know what he said? Did you know what she said? Did you know what she did? Instead of that, we call and had a merry heart. Come on. I just called to tell you God is so good. He saved me yesterday. He saved me. This is what he did in my life. I can't tell you how many times. The first day my wife went to take care of her mother, she called me. She says, honey, I don't know what to do. Pray for me. And I knew my wife was at the snapping point. You know your spouse, right? My wife was at the snapping point. I told her, put the phone, get it away from your ear, put it up to Nana's ear, or put it out in the house, because I'm fixing the prayer. Oh, Lord Jesus, you know what it is. I went to praying. I tore a hole through by the Holy Ghost. I prayed like I never prayed. Look, you heard me pray before. You ain't heard me pray like this. Oh, no, you haven't. When I got done, my wife said, hey, honey, she stopped. And she's quiet. And she slept all night. She didn't say a word. I said, oh, Jesus. Now, who was that? I'm going to tell you who it wasn't. I'm going to tell you who it wasn't. Who was that? It was God. It was our Lord Jesus Christ, who knows what we need in the hour of our need. Amen. And so he says that we're to be singing and making melody in our heart to the Lord, giving thanks always for all things to God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Let me say that again. Giving thanks always for all things. You say, how on earth can I give thanks always for all things? What does this explain? What does it tell us? It tells us that thanksgiving for the Christian is not seasonal, but daily. Hello? I said thanksgiving for the Christian is not seasonal, but daily. Giving thanks always for all things to God. Colossians 3:17, and whatever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to the Father through him. Giving thanks to the Father through him. All that we do, all that we are to do and say in Christ is made possible by the Father, and he is worthy of our gratitude constantly. Amen. And the longer I live, the longer I find, the more I find myself saying this. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, my goodness. Thank you, Jesus. I mean, it just, I don't know how many times I say it a day, but it just keeps coming up out of my spirit. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Because we are so reliant upon him. 1 Thessalonians 1 and 2, Paul says, we give thanks to God always for you all. That's my prayer for you every day. Every day as I pray for you, I give God thanks for you. Amen. And that includes the disciples. Amen. Every day. And it includes some other names I'm not going to mention, but since you're here, it includes because you said pray. We're praying. We're going to pray every day, giving God thanks, right? 1 Thessalonians 5:18, we know it well. In everything, give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. In everything, give thanks. Why or how can we give God thanks in everything? You say, you don't understand what I'm going through. That's true. But yet Paul says, in everything, give thanks. Yes. How can that be true? Here's how it's true. In everything, give thanks. Why? He says, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. Oh, my Lord. Help us, Jesus. But here is what we need to realize, and here's what we need to keep our eyes focused on. In everything, we are to give thanks to God, because in everything,
He is with us. I don't care what you're going through. Doesn't matter what hardship. Doesn't matter what sickness. Listen, when I was on my way to the hospital, my son didn't know what I was thinking. My wife didn't know what I was thinking. There was only one person who could be with me in that intimate moment who knew everything that I was going through. Only one. And I was thankful that he was with me. In everything, give thanks. Why? Because in everything, Christ is with you. Christ is with you. Therefore, you can give thanks. Why? Because if he wasn't with you, game over. If he wasn't with you, come on. When the three Hebrew boys fell down in the fire, the only reason why they fell down in the fire and weren't consumed in a moment is because the fourth man was already in the fire, because God goes before you into the trial. Listen, he's in your future. He's in your tomorrow. Therefore, don't be worried about tomorrow. He has tomorrow in his hand. He has you in his hand. Oh, just simply keep your eyes and your focus on Christ. Keep your eyes and your focus on him. So therefore, in everything, we can give thanks. For it's the will of God for us. Paul said in 2 Thessalonians 2:13, but we are bound to give thanks to God always for you, brethren, beloved of the Lord, because God from the beginning chose you for salvation. We are bound to give God thanks always for you. Hebrews 13:15. As David told Asaph and his brethren, the Levites, to stand before the Lord, to thank him, to commemorate him, to praise him. He left those priests before the Lord. Not only that day, but every day thereafter, they were to get up and they were to sing praises to God, commemorate and thank him. Hebrews 13:15 says this about you and I. Therefore, by him, by Christ, let us continually offer the sacrifice of praise to God. Because as they were Old Testament priests, we're New Testament priests. Old Testament priests offered up blood sacrifice. Jesus Christ fulfilled that. New Testament priests offer up thanksgiving, praise to God continually. Who the New Testament priests? You're looking at them. As you and I. He said, let us continually offer the sacrifice of praise to God. What is it? That is, he says, the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to his name. Giving thanks to his name. And I believe that the more you mature in Christ, the more you're going to be giving thanks to his name. As he causes us to understand that it is him and him alone who keeps us, that carries us, that we're constantly in this place of thanksgiving. Listen, constantly in this place of living out what Paul says about us as New Testament believers, that in everything we find ourselves giving thanks to God. Hallelujah. Why? Because as Jacob said to when Pharaoh asked him, he said, how old are you? And Jacob told him, he says, it's been a hard road. But he said, God's been with me every day of my life. He said, God has never forsaken me. That's what Jacob told Pharaoh before he died when he went to Egypt. He said that God was faithful. And so we're to offer up as New Testament priests, offer up praise and thanksgiving to God, not only during this season of thanksgiving, but every day, amen, every day we're giving thanks to God. You agree with that? Let's stand to our feet. Father, we thank you then for the word of the Lord. We thank you, O God, for Christ your Son. We thank you for choosing us for salvation. We thank you for sending your Son because of your great love wherewith you loved us. We thank you, O God, for making us alive who were dead in trespasses and sins. and we find our hearts full of gratitude and full of thanksgiving, oh God, because not only did you save us, oh God, but you're sanctifying us, you've justified us, and are glorifying us, oh God, for your heavenly kingdom. And Father, we pray, Lord, that this gratitude and this thanks, Lord, it would not be seasonal, oh God. Lord, it would not be something that, Lord, comes and goes, but that, Lord, it would be the fruit of the Spirit in our hearts as we are full, oh God, of gratitude for who you are and what you've done and what you're doing and what you've promised to do, oh God, Lord, which is, Lord, fully save us, spirit, soul, and body to your own glory, oh Lord, we pray. Oh, we ask, Lord, for the power of your Spirit, Lord, to bring this work to pass in our hearts, that as you have given yourself to us, so we would give ourselves to you. By the power of the Spirit, we ask it. Now unto him who's able to keep you from stumbling and to present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy, to God our Savior, who alone is wise, be glory and majesty, dominion and power, both now and forever. And all God's people say, amen, amen, and amen. God bless you real good.